We have been busy following the journey of two people who are on a remarkable challenge. They are paddleboarding the length of the UK. Now, this is Sophie and Dave, who are currently travelling from Land's End to John O'Groats. When we last checked in with them, they were somewhere near Wales. And I've been asking them to record some little snippets for us of how the journey has been going. We're going to hear that in a moment. But first, here is one that illustrates the conditions that they've been having to deal with. I mean, what? What even was that, apart from a howling wind? Well, when they've had calmer moments, Sophie and Dave have kept us up to date with how it's going, and it's fair to say it's had a few challenges so far.
The start of day 51 has been interesting, as we were awoken by the carbon monoxide alarm in our van after getting it checked out in a lay-by of all places by an amazing local gas certified engineer who came to our rescue. We are now on the way to go and buy a new carbon monoxide alarm.
It's the little things, isn't it? It's the little things that throw you. So how is their journey going overall? Well, I've been having a catch up with them and I asked Sophie where they've got to.
We've actually made it all the way to High Harrington. So that is kind of the Whitehaven Workington area. We have made it over halfway now and Scotland is in our sights.
Right, so this is serious progress. More importantly, Dave, how are you feeling? Because I should imagine you're beginning to ache in places you didn't even know existed.
Yeah, we've got a few aches. We're actually quite surprised that we haven't got more aches. The swollen finger seems to be the big one.
Really?
They kind of slightly go in the day as you kind of flex them more. But we actually got to the Workington Harrington area a couple of days ago and the winds picked up. So we've actually given us 2 days off the water because we just can't literally paddle, gone to the Lake District proper rather than the sea and rested for 2 days. So actually at the moment we're feeling fairly good.
Yes. Now, the last time we spoke, I think you were somewhere in the southwest. So you've made some serious progress since then. And one of the hairiest moments was coming face to face with some pretty big kind of vessels along the way. Talk me through some of the scariest moments since we last spoke, Sophie.
So I would say some of Dave's scariest moments was when we were on the canals going through Manchester. He wasn't a huge fan of those. We didn't have the best lock crossings there. They weren't really made for paddle boarders. So there was one where I kind of had to shimmy across and he had to push the boards with our feet to me and then I caught them. So he didn't really enjoy that. On the most recent stretch going past Duddon Sands and across Morecambe Bay, we were really petrified of that because there was really fast moving tides, but we actually had a pretty good day of it. The scariest thing was actually that the seals there don't seem to be afraid of you, so they keep getting closer and closer.
Now, of all of the things that you could have replied to that question with, seals, I wasn't expecting, to be honest. I would have thought it's quite a nice experience coming face to face with a seal.
Do you know what? They are absolutely gorgeous, but they are very big creatures. And if you get a bull seal, they're very protective. So you don't want to get on the wrong side of them.
Right. So, Dave, on a sliding scale of 1 to 10, which was scarier, the Manchester lock or the seal that was getting a bit too close for comfort?
Oh, I don't know. I think seals actually scare me quite a lot. And there's some nice ones out there. There's a notorious seal for paddleboarders, I think, Sammy. And I always forget if it's Weymouth or Weybridge, who, like, jumps on people's boards.
Really? But,
They can be quite hairy, especially when they're protecting their ladies or their young. So,
right.
Yeah, I think the seals are scarier.
So how, I mean, we've talked about the progress made. Are you on schedule? I mean, are you hitting the sort of time scale that you were expecting to at this stage, Dave?
Yeah, we're pretty much where we want to be. There's a big part of us that kind of beat ourselves up. But we are day 48 at the moment. So we always said 3 months, which is around 90 days. We're around half the days and over halfway. We're just conscious that when we get to Scotland, and with it being September now, that the bad weather days might multiply.
Yeah. When are you hoping to have completed this whole thing by?
So we always said mid-October, and we have more time. We could go through October and November. We just don't really want to be in a position where you've got one day on the water each week and 6 days off for bad weather, and it's absolutely miserable and cold.
So seals and Manchester lochs aside then, Sophie, you must have seen some absolutely breathtaking things along the way. So talk me through some of the highlights. What are the best bits been?
We have. So we actually had a really lovely experience doing a lot of the canals. The Shropshire Union Canal was absolutely stunning. And we paddled over kind of viaducts with views. This was just outside Manchester, actually, over the Manchester Ship Canal, which is beautiful. Most recently, as I say, we were going through some gorgeous sands, and we were able to look down through the crystal clear waters and see starfish.
Wow.
That was pretty special.
Goodness. And I suppose your route hasn't really taken you anywhere near home, has it? What's the closest you've been to Berkshire so far?
Oh, that would probably be when we went up the Severn estuary. So we went under the Severn Bridges, which was actually pretty special, pretty unique. And that was probably kind of the Gloucestershire area was as close as we've been to home.
Yeah, yeah. Have you felt yourself getting a bit homesick yet? Are you desperate to return to the Thames?
I love the Thames. I love my friends and family. I desperately miss my cat. However, I am loving life on the road. I think I'm a camper van convert.
Right.
And I think, if anything, people are worried that I won't come back.
Who's looking after the cat, Soph?
I have an amazing group of friends. So my next door neighbours have been fantastic. They pop in most nights. And I'm also a member of a wild swimming group called the Blue Tips.
Yeah.
And they're all swimming the Thames with me, and they've been amazing. So they've been taking it turns coming in. Some of their children, when I say children, their 16-year-olds have been coming and having sleepovers and pouring over socks. So I've been very lucky that I've had a whole army supporting me and the cat.
So that's Sophie and Dave. More from them in a moment, because you may remember the last time we caught up with them at the kind of beginning of their journey. They told us about the first argument that they'd had and how it was really awkward, because obviously you can't storm off in different directions. All you can do is have the row and then paddle in silence alongside each other. So have they had any more? We're going to find out after Calvin Harris and Tom Grennan on BBC Radio Berkshire. In the meantime, we're hearing all about our remarkable Berkshire paddleboarders who are taking on an epic challenge going from Land's End to John O'Groats. We've already heard how they've battled conditions to make it to the north of the country, but what about relations between them? I've been asking Dave whether they've had any more arguments along the way.
We've had bickerings, but we've had less bickerings. Sophie was, I think, worried about getting back on the sea, because the sea tends to be where I start to get a lot snappier, because I'm very much aware there's two of us with potential for bigger risk, less safe than the canals. So I think that's where my the green monster comes out.
Right.
So we've had a few bickers, but nothing, unless you are Sophie, nothing I think that stands out recently.
This is where Sophie hits us with a long list, right? Sophie, how's it been for you?
I think he's been nice, actually, because I thought he might mention Ashton-under-Lyme.
You've not mentioned Ashton-under-Lyme. Well, now you've got to, Sophie. Come on, reveal all. What happened there?
It might have been my fault, though. So I think he was actually being nice there. I misunderstood and thought we had a 4-hour, because we had about 5 days with no support crew, so we were wild camping.
Yeah.
And we'd made it to our kind of last destination. And I thought we had like a 4-hour wait with nowhere planned for the evening for one of us to stand with the boards while the other one moved.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, just stand outside Asda. I was like, what? Until like 20 to midnight? That's ridiculous. We had a huge row. And actually, it was only a 2-hour journey. And Dave ended up packing me off in an Uber to go get the van.
Oh, no, Dave. It was a misunderstanding and a half by the sounds of things.
Yeah, so I ended up on outside Asda with two hardboards, sat down, and one of the Asda team members came on to the evening shift and went, that's unusual, the tramp normally sits there. And I was like, thanks.
No, it's just me. I mean, at the end of all of this, right, you're going to miss it, aren't you, Dave? You're going to miss this kind of exotic, intrepid journey across the UK on a paddleboard.
Yeah, we were talking today about kind of adventure blues. A lot of adventurers talk about how bad mentally and emotionally it is when everything stops, and the importance of actually having another adventure lined up or something that you want to do. In the last week or so, as a joke, we started talking about hiking back from John O'Groats.
Right.
And unfortunately, this has become more of a, like, when we're on the paddleboards and we're bored, we're like, oh, so logistics for the hike back. And I'm like, let's not get carried away. Let's do one adventure first. But yeah, I think it's important to have something to look forward to afterwards, even if it's a big adventure or a smaller one.
I do worry, Sophie, that you're basically never going to come back by the sound of things. I worry that you're never going to return to normality at this rate. You're just going to keep on paddleboarding, hiking, canoeing, goodness only knows what.
Well, if I got my way, I think I'm the one. I think Dave made the joke about the hike. I said yes. Then we kind of semi-started talking about it, and I'm now fully addicted and want to do it. I think if I have my way, we try and do a quadruple, but I don't know if I'm winning that yet.
The thing is, we are, as Dave quite rightly points out, heading towards the colder end of the year here. So surely there is going to come a point where, you know, the appeal of returning home and sitting in front of a pub fire come November gets too much, isn't it? You don't want to be camping out in the Scottish wilderness come November, surely.
I guess I should say no to this, and I haven't camped for extended periods, so maybe I would be miserable, but there would be something nice about doing the quadruple. But well, we definitely said that we'd at least give ourselves 2 weeks off.
Right. How very generous. How very generous,
I know, right?
Of you. An entire 14 days. Good grief. And meantime, of course, you're busy raising money for your charities. How are you doing on that front, Dave?
Yeah, I think we Soph and I share frustration. So we've hit the 1300 mark, but we're way off where we wanted to be at this point in the journey. The canals were great, though, because what we found is that every conversation we had where people were interested tended to result in a donation.
Brilliant.
So it's when we get to speak to people, it's brilliant. The sea is obviously another matter where we're out and we hardly see anyone during the days. And also we're coming off at quite small places in the Lake District at the coast. So we're not kind of seeing the people to have those conversations.
I suppose it's quite difficult as well, though, because even when you're on inland waterways, you may just look like a couple who are paddleboarding. It won't necessarily lead to a huge conversation, but it sounds as though people have been quite interested in what you're doing.
Yeah, I think because we've got the hard boards and they look a little bit different from the inflatables, and we've got, you know, personal flotation devices with like radio antennas sticking out and stuff like that, we look a bit weird, even
right.
For paddle boarders. So people,
yes,
are like, okay, they're not run of the mill. What's happening there?
Okay. And if hopefully people are listening to this and they're thinking, well, this sounds really good. These two are clearly testing themselves to the limit. If people want to donate, Sophie, where can they go for more information?
Yeah, so on our website, www.supitandsea.uk, and that's C as in the sea, we have a donate link on there, and it will take you to the Virgin Money page. And one thing to point out as well is that Virgin Money offer a service where you can trade in old items. So if people don't have the cash available, they can trade in things like books, DVDs, etc., and that can be used as a donation.
Okay, that's a different way of doing it. So, all right, so it sounds as though you're very much converted to this lifestyle, but there must be something that you are missing, aside from the cat, obviously, at the moment. What are you most looking forward to doing when you eventually get home, Sophie?
Apart from obviously seeing friends and family, I'm really looking forward to having a hot bath.
Yes, I should imagine. I mean, we should probably point out that you have probably found a way of cleaning yourself since you left Berkshire, right, in the meantime.
We have, but not as often as we would like. We have just had 2 days with showers, which is absolutely gorgeous.
Right. I mean, I'm all of a sudden quite glad that we're conducting this interview remotely rather than face-to-face in the studio at the moment. Dave, what are you most looking forward to?
It's really sad, but I'm actually missing my Nespresso machine. I'm missing
my
coffee.
Oh, come on.
Without either having a coffee, just a normal freeze-dry, or having to spend money on a Costa or something, which doesn't happen often.
No, that's a very middle-class response, Dave, I've got to say. Well done on that. Listen, I'm sure we are going to catch up again very soon. In the meantime, stay safe, both of you, and well done for getting this far.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Sophie and Dave. Love those guys.